Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. Thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, The Greater Works. And we've been looking at Jesus' recorded first miracle recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. And it says in that first verse, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus also was invited, as well as his disciples, and they ran out of wine. And in the fourth verse, she says, Jesus, they don't have any wine. And he responds in verse 4, Jesus does, by saying, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And this is very significant. He was not being disrespectful of his mother. Basically, he was saying, what does that have to do with me and you? He said, my time has not yet come. But literally in the classical Hebrew and Greek, it says, what do you want with me? Why do you involve me? And he, when he says my hour, that is referred to His suffering and death is basically public ministry. This is really a fascinating portion of Scripture, because then in the very next verse, he says, you know, it's not time yet. And then what does she do? She goes to the servant. She says, whatever he says, do it. And so what is going on here is that Jesus is gently letting her know that her motherly or maternal authority did not have priority or prerogative, if you will, over the mission that he had been called of his father to do. Earlier, when he was 12 years old, remember, he stayed behind and he was teaching and asking questions of the priests in the temple. And when they found him, he returned with his parents until the time his father said, the 3 years were now before him and he needed to go out and do the works that his father called him to do. But it does indicate that now Mary's maternal authority was at an end. And so one of the things we see is that Jesus was, we could never move in presumption or reverence, which Mary was. It was a transition time, if you will, in her relationship with Jesus. And of course, no partiality could be shown to family or relatives, that, in other words, those that were friends or close to him couldn't expect better treatment or greater miracles, if you will. In the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark, there's an interesting report of the words of Jesus, and he's basically, in verse 31 of Mark chapter 3, it says, Then came his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about and said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. He was in a teaching mode, and he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? He looked round about on them which sat about him, and he said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. In other words, those who were listening and doing the will of God. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Praise God. So basically, Mary had to learn what in the natural had to be a rather painful lesson, because yes, she gave him birth, but he was the Savior of mankind. Jesus, above all, was committed to his Father's will, and the time for his manifestation was in the Father's hand. And we can learn from this that in our relationship with the Lord, that there are times that there may be changes in how God is going to deal with us, the various seasons of our lives. And we have to be sensitive to the fact that there may be a time, I mean, what we start maybe in our in young adulthood may not be what we're doing when we're in our mature years or in our latter years. God has the right to direct His servants, His children, in the way that best pleases Him. And so, as we go on further in this message of chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, there's many lessons. She says, whatever he says, do it. And so Mary was urging obedience to the servants and Jesus' command, obedience. And that miracle, interesting, just think, we just read it. And as you think about it, though, if they hadn't obeyed, that miracle would not have taken place because he said, fill the water pots with water. And, you know, it's really interesting, again, the symbols, the numerology that God uses in Scripture. There's such a depth of Scripture. We can read it superficially, and of course we can get a basic message, but there's such a significance that God buries deep within the passages. Like there's six water pots. Well, six is the number of man, and basically, what does Scripture say? We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And those water pots were basically storage vessels for ceremonial washing of hands before dinner. It was one of the regulations, you know. In fact, the disciples got in trouble. Well, they never washed their hands before eating. Well, the Pharisees, the religious group, basically extended the literal commands, if you will, of the Old Testament that were written on tablets of stone into many other various laws, like it was necessary to wash your hands before dinner. And in this particular case, those storage vessels were 20 to 30 gallons each. They would contain generally about 120 gallons of water. They were not the normal earthen wine jars, which held about 4 gallons of wine. And so those water pots, when that was changed into wine, the Lord was demonstrating an extraordinary and amazing abundance of wine, that there's no limit to our God. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things God has prepared for those that love Him. He's a God of abundance, a God of oversupply. He daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And we are earthen vessels, are we not? We are those vessels, those storage vessels, if you will, that are able to contain the new wine of the Spirit. And so God's ways are ways of abundance. And He wants to show us, He wants to demonstrate, He wants to give to us His ways, which is a divine order of the ways of God. Psalm 25, 4 and 5 says, the psalmist is saying, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Verse 25 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So we need God's ways. You know, the word, there are ways that seem right unto man, but the end thereof is death. But in the ways of God, there is life everlasting. And obviously, there are His ways that should be so obvious to us. But His ways generally are always a departure from tradition, from man's ways. For the Jewish ruler of the banquet, drinking wine from those purification jars would have been unthinkable. But Jesus was never predictable, was He? Our God is not, you know, that you just cannot understand fully. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. But he's our amazing God. He's our Father. He loves us, and he loves to delight us with showing the abundance of the table that's set before us. He set before us a table in the midst of our enemies. Our cup runs over. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so, anyway, going back to this miracle, the ruler, governor of the feast, the exact office is uncertain. Could have been the wine steward or the head waiter. He would taste or approve the beverage used. And obviously, in this case, the bridegroom had to supply this, or the friends. And the custom called for the wedding at the home of the bridegroom. And the monitor of the feast, whatever his status was, had to see that everything was carried out properly, that everyone had enough. It was a time of rejoicing, a time of feasting. Also, there was to be no excess, no disorders or indecencies. And some scholars think that the master of at a wedding feast was a priest or a Levite who would ask a blessing and give thanks. And not knowing who to thank for this this new wine, this delightful wine, he logically commends the bridegroom. And this apparently shocked and delighted the supposing bridegroom, that obviously perhaps there was a private stock which had been drawn from, which had to be used rather than dampen the festive spirit of the wedding. There was a hidden source, and that, of course, that source was Jesus. So there's much symbolism and much deep truth that God gives to us in what is a very simple relation of a simple miracle. Well, there's no miracle, that's just simple, but that water was turned into wine. He saved the best for last, and that's true in our lives as well. Well, my time has flown, and we'll continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and until then, the announcer is going to give you our contact information. If you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. I alone read and answer the mail, and there have been countless testimonies of answered prayer and how God has used this ministry of correspondence to bless the hearts of his people, to encourage them, to give a word of support in a time of need. So the announcer is going to give our contact information. I invite you to write. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.